From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesia defends digital tax policy despite the United States scrutiny. Food and Drug Administration FDA revokes the states of emergency use of hydroxychloroquine. Now the news in details. The Indonesian government will press ahead with collecting digital tax despite a recent announcement by the United States Trade Representative USTR to investigate such a policy, which the U.S. said was aimed squarely at its technologies giant. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said on Tuesday the government was only requiring internet companies to pay value-added tax or VAT on sales of digital products and services starting July 1st. The minister added that the companies would only have to act as a tax collector, as consumers would have to pay for the taxes. The government has been struggling to collect more revenues to fund its cash-strapped budget as the COVID-19 pandemic hits almost all business sectors. Law No. 2-2020 stipulates that the government is able to charge VAT on taxable intangible goods and or service sold through e-commerce platforms and charge income tax or electronic transaction tax on e-commerce operated by foreign individuals or digital companies that have a significant economic presence. The significant economic presence will be determined through the company's gross circulated product sales and or active users in Indonesia. Indonesia is expecting investment from American, Japanese, and South Korean firms seeking to relocate their factories out of China and set up manufacturing, furniture, and electronic businesses in the country as it begins reopening. Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM spokeswoman Tina Talisa, the firms are looking to invest to either of two industrial estates under development in central Java, one in Batang, the other in Brebes. The agency's head, Bahlil Lahadalia, said recently that a South Korean manufacturer would join the country's battery industry with estimated investment of $1.6 billion. American firms would invest in the manufacturing sector, the furniture business, and electronic industries. Japanese manufacturers would also invest in the electronic industry. Bahlil Lahadalia, the agency keeps promoting Indonesia to attract new investment. Trade Minister Agus Suparmanto said that Trade Ministry makes efforts to increase export market of food processing products to increase Indonesian balance of trade on second quarter 2020 amid COVID-19 pandemic. Therefore, it is hoped participation of various sides to produce innovation in increasing export of Indonesian food products amid COVID-19 pandemic. Minister Agus stated in a press release, which was received in Jakarta on Tuesday, that the ministry conducts various strategic policies in encouraging Indonesian trade performance in the era of new normal. The policies are, among others, by increasing ease and speed of issuing certificates of origin of exported goods through the application of ECFIX signatures and stamps, and applying automatic authentication in the process of export and import licensing for reputable traders. In addition, the policies also aim to increase and to accelerate export-import service and supervision through the national logistic ecosystem. Indonesian Palm Oil Association stated that African region are potential markets as Indonesian export alternative destination of crude palm oil CPO. Chairman of GAPKI, Joko Supriyono, explained that African regions are being interesting markets because export growth is quite good annually, although the country is only ordered in small packages. Supriyono said in Jakarta on Tuesday that based on HS code, there are 32 Indonesian palm oil products, either CPO, palm kernel oil PKO, and its derivatives, which are exported to Africa. One of the products, namely processing palm oil in form of liquid with packaging not more than 25 kilograms, reaches 41% of total palm oil export to Africa. Joko viewed that developing potential new market, namely Africa, is one of the efforts which is undertaken by Indonesia in a time of awakening global demand for palm oil amid pandemic condition. Let's move on to the international world. This is the news from Voice of Indonesia. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, revoked authorizations of the emergency use of the hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine drugs to heal patients of COVID-19. FDA said recently that the drugs are not effective in healing coronavirus. The United States President Donald Trump criticized the FDA decision. Responding to the FDA decision, President Trump said that earlier he consumed the drugs without side effect. According to the President Trump, many people told him that hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine have saved their lives. President Trump further said that there is great report from France, Spain, and other places without offering evidence or further explanation. France is one of the countries which has stopped to use the drugs for COVID-19 patients.
I can't complain about it. I took it for 2 weeks and I'm here. Here we are. And we've had some great studies. We've had some great reports coming out of France, coming out of Spain, coming out of other places.
Food and Drug Administration FDA permitted the emergency use of anti-malaria drugs in late March. At that time, the U.S. government received millions of doses of hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine that had been donated by two foreign drug manufacturers. Millions of doses were sent to hospitals in the U.S. to treat the patient. Meanwhile, there is no research which found that the drugs are safe or effective to prevent or to cure COVID-19. A series of recent studies explain that the drugs can cause more damage than good. The drugs can cause problems of heart rate, very low blood pressures, and damage to muscles or nerves. The FDA reported recently that it had received nearly 390 reports of complication caused by the drugs. Spain is considering imposing a quarantine on visitors from Britain when it reopens its border next week, Spain's foreign minister said, in response to a similar policy introduced last week to travelers to Britain. Arancha Gonzalez-Laya told the BBC she hoped Britain would lift its restriction, making a reciprocal Spanish one unnecessary. Britain with more than 41,000 documented coronavirus-linked deaths and Spain with more than 27,000 have been two of the countries hardest hit by the pandemic. Both along with other European countries are in the process of easing lockdown restrictions that have included border closures. Spanish officials gave no mention of any quarantine curbs on Sunday when the government moved forward the date for allowing European visitors back into the country to June 21st from July 1st. The UN Refugee Agency UNHCR has partnered up with the World Food Programme to provide about 10,000 Libyan-based refugees with emergency food kits in a move to step up humanitarian assistance for food insecurity amid the pandemic, the agency said in a statement on Tuesday. Refugee asylum seekers and internally displaced persons in Libya depend heavily on wage work and many can only buy food based on the day. according to the UNHCR, after the Libyan government had imposed curfews and food prices skyrocketed as a result of the coronavirus pandemic, many of these people were unable to find any daily work to support themselves. According to the UNHCR, the pilot batch of food kits was distributed among some 2,000 refugees at the agency's registration center in Tripoli on Monday. The humanitarian initiative will last through the end of the year. Singapore Phase 2 of the country's reopening will start after June 18 at 11:59 p.m. The COVID-19 Multi-Ministry Task Force announced on Monday. The task force has reassessed the situation and made the decision. Nuka Kusumawati has the details.
Singapore excited a two-month-long circuit breaker designed to limit the spread of COVID-19 on June 1st. The Multi-Ministry Task Force said at the time that Singapore would reopen in three phases, outlining what might be allowed under each phase. On Monday, speaking at a press conference, Health Minister Gan Kim Yong said that the phase two will involve the resumption of most activities subject to safe distancing principles.
I have to explain that phase two actually is a process. It's not the end stage, and as we progress in phase two, we will continuously monitor the situation, and when situation allows, we will continue to ease the restriction. And eventually, when we reach phase three, basically phase three is a steady state. By that time, we are probably going to hold that position in phase three for quite a long time until when a vaccine is available.
The authorities' goal is to ensure that efforts taken during the circuit breaker period and phase one of reopening are sustained. Co-chair of the Multi-Ministry Task Force, Minister for National Development Lawrence Wong, said that phase two should not be treated as a signal that we can relax, we can all let our guard down. Phase two will last for months until the situation is stable.
And then again, over time, we will increase the capacity limits as we continue to monitor and if we see the situation remaining stable. So we expect this process of review, monitoring, easing. Hopefully it's easing, because you never know, along the way we might have to slow down or even tighten some restrictions. But we expect this process to continue for months before we reach phase three.
Minister Wong added that by phase three, social, cultural, religious and business gatherings or events should be able to resume, although gathering sizes would still have to be limited in order to prevent large clusters from arising. At the time, the authorities said that reaching the next phase could take multiple steps, depending on how the situation evolves.
Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Today's commentary is on Trump's decision to withdraw forces from Germany. The issue that the United States would withdraw some of its troops from Germany became real. Calling the German government acting naughty, U.S. President Donald Trump Monday, June 15, said he would withdraw U.S. troops from Germany. In his statement at the White House, Trump said he would reduce the number of troops to just 25,000. Data shows that so far the United States has around 38,000 troops in several regions in Germany. In addition to considering the large cost of mobilizing troops in Germany, Donald Trump cited German weak commitments as another reason. Trump uses the term naughty for the policy of Angela Merkel government, who does not meet commitment to use 2% of the country's GDP for the defense sector as required by NATO. Since the end of the Second World War, the United States has incurred huge costs to place its troops in Germany. Donald Trump's complaint was not only conveyed to Angela Merkel, but also to other NATO member countries. Whatever the reason Donald Trump reduces the number of U.S. troops in Germany, criticism has arisen, not only from Germany, but also from domestic political opponents. The NATO alliance states that Trump's decision shows the weak commitment of his administration to work with NATO and other European countries. German Foreign Minister Heiko Maas indicated increasingly complicated relations between the United States and Germany since Donald Trump became president. However, Trump's decision was welcomed positively by the leftist party in Germany, who wanted a complete withdrawal of U.S. troops from Germany. The decision also reinforced criticism of Trump at home, even from the Republicans themselves. Republicans had previously reminded Trump that the withdrawal of troops from Germany and Europe would bring the security consequences that Russia and China could cause. Trump's steps may have consequences for his re-election as president, especially following the antipathy of some people in the United States due to his response to the death of George Floyd. However, the eyes of the world still have to wait until the time comes. Well, that was commentary today on Trump's decision to withdraw forces from Germany. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll start with June 24, 1951, the first Indonesian midwife conference. In the history of the Indonesian midwife, it is mentioned that June 24 is the anniversary of the Indonesian Midwives Association. It is based on the results of the first midwife conference held in Jakarta on June 24, 1951. The conference was initiated by senior midwives in Jakarta and succeeded in laying a strong foundation and direction for the next midwife struggle, that is to establish a professional organization called the Indonesian Midwife Association in the form of a national unity based on Pancasila and the 1945 Constitution. This professional organization can help and accommodate all the needs of midwives in Indonesia, especially in remote areas of the country. Turning to June 24, 1956, Colonel Gamal Abdel Nasser is elected president of Egypt for the second time. Gamal Abdel Nasser was the president of Egypt and one of the most prominent Arab statesmen in history. In 1952, Nasser led the Egyptian armed forces in a coup that overthrew King Farouk. On February 25, 1954, Gamal Abdel Nasser became the first Egyptian head of state replacing General Najib. 2 years later, to be exact on June 24, 1956, Nasser became the sole candidate in the presidential election and was inaugurated as president of Egypt for the second time. During his administration, Gamal Abdel Nasser was successful in arousing Arab nationalism and pan-Arabism, nationalizing the Suez Canal, which caused the Suez Crisis that made Egypt had to deal with France, England, and Israel, who had interests against the canal. The crisis ended with a decision by the international world that benefited Egypt and acknowledged that officially Suez Canal is in the Egyptian sovereignty. I'll end Today in History with June 24, 1982, Jakarta incident. British Airways Flight 9, or also known as Jakarta incident, is a British Airways flight that started from Heathrow, London to Auckland with stops in Bombay, Madras, Kuala Lumpur, Perth, and Melbourne. On June 24, 1982, the plane flew to the volcanic ash cloud from the eruption of Mount Galunggung in West Java, causing the entire engine to stop working. The incident was unknown to the ground crew. The plane then diverted to Jakarta, hoping that the machine could restart and land there. This aircraft managed to come out of the ash cloud and restarted the engine and landed safely at Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport in Jakarta. No one was hurt. The incident was portrayed in an air crash investigation TV series entitled All Engines Failed. Well, that was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hitung detik waktu memikirkan kamu. wanna hold you. I just wanna kiss you. I just wanna love you all my life. Normally wouldn't say this, but I just can't contain it. I want you here forever, right here by my side. Hold you, kiss you. I just wanna love you all my life. Normally wouldn't say this, but I just can't contain it. I want you here forever.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to My Indonesia. For today entitled Indonesian Tourism and Creative Economy Ministry invites social investment community to Indonesia. Deputy Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Angela Tanusudibyo invited social investment community to build tourism and creative economic sectors in Indonesia, which according to her are prospective. That was stated by Angela Tanusudibyo in written statement in Jakarta on Sunday, June 14. The invitation was also conveyed during Asian Venture Philanthropy Network AVPN Conference 2020 on Friday, June 12. Angela Tanusudibyo said, Indonesian government cannot work alone. They need support from various sides, including social investment community, to encourage development of local tourism and creative economy. The support also can increase business capacity of micro, small, medium enterprises and stimulate COVID-19 affected sectors by rebuilding conducive business ecosystem. Angela also said COVID-19 pandemic brought challenge for all sectors to survive, including in tourism and creative economic sectors, which are mostly filled by micro, small, medium enterprises. However, adaptation in current situation is not easy. Collaboration and support from various sides, including government, are required. She explained finance and entrepreneurship innovations such as crowdfunding, philanthropy investment, public-private partnership, and socialpreneur can be effective solution for challenges in the new normal. Indonesian government supported in creating healthy and conducive ecosystem for investment, including ensuring sustainable development. Indonesia tried its best to realize the sustainable development concept in development policy and target. Angela said, Indonesia is a conducive place for investment. Indonesia has great potential in tourism and creative economy, including cultural diversity and natural resources. Meanwhile, Tourism and Creative Economy Minister, as well as Head of Tourism and Creative Economy Agency, Wisnu Tamakusbandio, in a recorded remark during the event, said, all countries, not only Indonesia, are having great challenge in facing COVID-19. However, they try to transform the challenge into a big opportunity to collaborate between government and private sectors, including social investment community. Tourism and Creative Economy Minister welcomed the Asian Venture Philanthropy Network AVPN Conference 2021 in Bali on June 2021. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Voice of Indonesia. izinkan aku hadir dan menata ruang hati yang telah tertutup lama. Saatnya, kau jadi bagian hidupku, kau jadi bagian hidupku, takkan pernah berhenti untuk selalu percaya, walau harus menunggu 1000 tahun lamanya.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Mount Tambora. Mount Tambora is a mountain with the biggest eruption ever recorded in modern human history. The eruption in 1815 created caldera with a diameter of 77 kilometers. The mountain is located in two regencies, namely Dombu Regency, which covers the western and southern slopes, and Bima Regency, which covers the eastern and northern slopes. Mount Tambora was formed due to active subduction below under it. The mountain is located on Sumbawa Island, West Nusa Tenggara Province. To go there takes around 12 hours from Lombok Island. There is a national park around Mount Tambora. If you go by plane, there are two airports which can become your destination, namely Bima and Sumbawa airports. Both airports are small ones, and only planes with ATR types can land. There is no direct flight from big cities such as Jakarta, Surabaya, or Bali. If you choose Bima Airport, you should continue your trip around 4 hours by land transportation to Mount Tambora via Dorongchanga Lane. If from Sumbawa Airport, it takes around 5 hours. In addition to having amazing history and panorama, Mount Tambora is one of the favorite mountains for climbing. Tambora National Park's hall provides exclusive climbing facilities, namely cars and dirt motorcycles, which can carry out the climbers to the fifth post. To climb Mount Tambora, you can use three special lanes. Pancasila Lane can only be accessed on foot, and Piyong and Dorongchanga lanes can be accessed on foot or by hardtop cars. There are three ways to enjoy when climbing Mount Tambora, whose height is around 2,850 meters. The three ways are exclusive climbing, climbing via common lane, or enjoying recreational facilities for tourists who do not want to climb the mountain. So it is up to you to choose the ways how to enjoy sunrise on the peak of Mount Tambora. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Mount Tambora in West Nusa Tenggara. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Berpisah in English Separate. Listen to this conversation about berpisah, which means separate. Eko says goodbye to Kevin and Rama. Eko will go home to Yogyakarta.
Saya harus pergi.
Hati-hati, semoga selamat sampai tujuan.
Selamat jalan, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Terima kasih, sampai jumpa. Terima kasih, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Now I'm going to introduce the vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Saya harus pergi. Saya harus pergi, which means I have to go. Semoga. Semoga, which means hopefully. Hati-hati. Hati-hati, which means take care. Selamat jalan. Selamat jalan, which means goodbye. Sampai berjumpa. Sampai berjumpa, which means see you again or see you. Semoga selamat sampai tujuan. Semoga selamat sampai tujuan. In English, have a safe trip. In the conversation, Eko says an expression, saya harus pergi. In English, I have to go. The expression is usually used when saying goodbye. In addition, the expression is usually followed by a farewell such as dah or bye or sampai berjumpa lagi or in English, see you again. To respond to the greetings, you can repeat the greetings of others or say selamat jalan. In English, goodbye. In addition, you can also respond with expressions of hope, such as hati-hati, in English, take care, or semoga selamat sampai tujuan, in English, have a safe trip. Additional information. There is another expression to say goodbye, such as selamat tinggal, in English, goodbye. However, the expression selamat tinggal is rarely used in daily conversation. Expressions sampai berjumpa lagi or sampai bertemu lagi are commonly used in the Indonesian language, both in formal or non-formal contexts. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Saya harus pergi.
Hati-hati, semoga selamat sampai tujuan.
Selamat jalan, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Terima kasih, sampai jumpa. Terima kasih, sampai berjumpa lagi.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Mungkinkah ku berdiri di empat tanpa tepi? Bolehkah aku mendengarmu? Terkubur dalam emosi, tak bisa bersembunyi. Aku dan nafasku
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. Now we present a song from North Sumatra entitled Sigulempong. The song Sigulempong has poetic lyrics. The song tells a story of tradition of one of tribes in North Sumatra, namely Batak tribe, who usually curious to know about clan of someone they just firstly know. It is aimed to get to know them better, so that they call a person correctly. While some other also said that the lyric of the song Gwempong consists of a message of how important to know the origin of family of the couple who wants to get married. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Si Gulempong by Vicky Sianipar and Ervina Simarmata. Enjoy the song.
Sanggar si gule sai main huru-huruan si gule pong si gule gule jolo sinukun marga si gule asa minoto partuturan si gule pong si gule gule
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.